When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey guys, Akil here. Welcome back to another episode of the Trading Coach Podcast. Before we hop into today's episode, just want to take a second to say thank you for all the support. I don't say it enough, but you guys do a great job of just spreading the word, sharing the show, leaving positive and inspirational comments, and just really inspiring future podcast episodes. So I always think of this podcast as being something for you guys, by you guys. I mean, you guys kind of create the content with the daily questions that I get. So thank you. You guys are what makes this show run, and hopefully we can continue to do that for a very long time. Today's episode is going to be another one of our accountability sessions. These are our Friday sessions with the traders on our platform, really allowing themselves to introduce themselves to our community, to ourselves, and really lay out kind of what their goals are with trading. And I think what's very helpful is it gives you guys a human element of a trader that is in the journey. A lot of the time you hear interviews with people that are really at the end of the journey. They've already achieved success. So it's kind of they're looking back at it and giving you tips and helping you on what to do. This is someone that's in the trenches. And I think that kind of relationship just inspires a lot more individuals. Now, today's trader is from Japan, originally from England, living in Japan right now. He's a software engineer, so a big numbers guy. He has a blog on programming and whatnot. He's thinking about kind of taking that to the next level, which is pretty cool. But his story is interesting because he actually changed trading styles. He's been interested in trading for a while, and the first person he learned from was really fundamentally based, and what he learned from that experience is that it just didn't fit with his style, right? There were certain things that just didn't mesh with. And something I always tell traders is we want to mesh our style to our personality. That way we put ourselves in the most comfortable position possible. And when you're in that comfortable position, you don't second guess what you're doing and why you're doing it. And you're less likely to make those trading mistakes, right? Those psychological mistakes that happen when you don't really believe in what you're doing. So it's funny, seeing how this guy is a numbers guy by trade, it's only natural that he fell in love with the technical approach as it kind of already fits the programming mind that he has. So it's a cool podcast episode. It's a cool interview. Make sure you listen. And do me a favor at the end of the show or whenever you get a chance, just please leave me a rating or review on iTunes. That's the best way you can continue to support the show. And a big thank you in advance for doing so.
Thanks for coming on, Jamal.
No, thank you.
Good. Tell us a little bit about who you are, where you're from, because you've got a very, very nice English accent, I want to say. Very kind of well-spoken. I was expecting a bit of a twinge or an accent. But tell us a bit about yourself.
Yeah, I am from England. I'm from the West Midlands.
Oh, right.
So Solihull, somewhere Solihull, in the middle of England.
Yeah. Birmingham.
Yes.
Birmingham.
Yeah, Birmingham. And but yeah, now, as you obviously saw by the map, I am living in Japan. I work here. I'm a software engineer. So I work in fintech, so financial technology.
Okay. Yep.
So I do stuff like invoicing, accounting software, analytics, that kind of stuff, which I love, actually. I love my job. I've been programming since I was 11. So it's what I do. And
do you work with companies like Oracle or you know that kind of or Infusionsoft or what's
we mostly work with Japanese companies.
Oh, do you?
So we're in Japan, obviously. We do have some clients abroad, but most of the companies are Japanese, and I don't really know them. There's some big ones, but yeah. I do. I live in Tokyo.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And how's that?
It's easy to live here. I would rather be in the countryside, to be honest. But it's very busy, but it's also very convenient and very safe, which is nice.
Right.
And I speak Japanese, so that's not a problem as well. So it's pretty good.
How long did it take you to learn Japanese?
How long did it take me to learn Japanese? I started learning Japanese when I was 16. I'm now 24. So it has been that long. So eight years.
Would you say you're fluent now?
I'm pretty fluent. I can operate in a business environment. I can write business emails, read books with their crazy characters,
amazing,
and stuff like that. So it's it's just time. You know, learning a language takes time.
Yeah. So tell us a bit about kind of why you got into trading or earlier experiences before Tier 1, because we haven't spoken before, have we?
No, we haven't. So I started...
You're obviously in financial technology anyway, so you're kind of in that.
Yeah. It's been making money has been an interest of mine for a while. So I did various things before, like I had blogs. I had a programming blog. And I tried affiliate marketing sites and stuff like that.
Yeah.
In the end, I ended up coming to Japan, and then someone that works in my company, he trades Japanese stocks, and he is actually killing it. Like he's made millions in stocks on the Japanese market, but he does it using fundamentals.
Right.
And I gave it a bit of a go. I was getting help from him, and I actually did pretty well to begin with. I was making I had a small account, so in percentage wise I was doing pretty well, but in terms of pure monetary value, you know, it was nothing. And then there was many things that I didn't know, and the style that he was trading doesn't really fit me. So for one of the things I didn't know about was a stop loss.
Don't need that.
Yeah, that little thing, the little red bar at the bottom of your screen there. I didn't blow any accounts up. I ended up making a little bit of money and then losing 30% of my account in a couple of days. So I don't know what the word is for it in English, but when you're trading fundamentals, sometimes the news that you're planning on trading has already been factored into the market. And basically what happens, even though the news, even if you're spot on with what actually has happened inside the company, and things are in a good direction in terms of pure fundamentals, sometimes because it's already been factored into the market, there's a sudden drop. Because everyone had already bought the stock expecting it to go up, and then they all sell it on the day of the financials release. And I ended up being wound up in one of those trades and lost a lot of money because I didn't have a stop loss.
Mm-hmm.
And then from then on, I was like, okay, something needs to change. And I stayed with fundamentals for a year. Sorry, I've been doing this for like 1 year and 8 months now. So for the first year, I was doing... fundamentals, and after a while I was like, you know, this isn't really me, and I'm looking at people doing technical trading as well, and that's much more interesting. I love charts and numbers. So I really love analysis. I do a bit of that at work, obviously, and I like feeding numbers into stuff like machine learning and stuff like that. So I was like, okay, I'll give technical trading a go. And so I've been studying since then, and I learned about stop losses, and I haven't traded live technical, you're doing technical trading yet. So I did actually, I've never been scammed, so that's nice. I did a free course that was actually pretty good for the basics, and I started backtesting a system, and I got the system to a point where, you know, it was profitable. I was trading the USD JPY pair on the in the backtest on 4 hour candles, and it ended up after 100 trades with a 42% increase in PNL. There were 62% win rate, but 59% win rate if you take out the trades that I exited early, because I traded a 30 bar limit. So after those 30 bars, I would exit the trade because it was going on for too long. And the risk reward was always, I traded a risk reward that was always set at two rewards for my one risk.
Right.
So it was okay, but it was only the USD JPY pair, and then I went into a demo account with it, and it wasn't so great on anything else. So the only trades that really worked were USD JPY trades. It was a trend continuation pullback strategy.
Right. Okay.
And then I was like, okay, no, I think I need. I need more information. I need more like ways of building a strategy, or a better way of building a strategy. Probably shiny, to be fair, it's probably shiny, whatever it's called, shiny thing syndrome. So I was like, this isn't working out for me in my demo trade. So I'm going to look for something else. And I had vaguely remembered both you and Akhil from past YouTube forays and podcasts. I listened to the Akhil's podcast. I haven't actually listened to yours yet. That's on my list of things to do. Oh, I tend to go through. God. I tend to go through one at a time.
I'll speak to you.
You're next on the list. Don't worry. But yeah. So I came here and I actually shot. I joined here and the 14-day trial, and I was hanging around in the chat a little bit, and people are really friendly here. And one of the things I realized I was missing was a community. I think the community is going to be having people to talk to, and even if I'm not asking for help, even if just being around other traders in some vague form,
yep.
I think is going to be really beneficial to me.
Yeah, just getting your pump every day.
Yeah,
like the gym addict. You just kind of yes. get in and you be around that, get that talk. But also, the community are very, you say they're very friendly. You're in IT. I always mention about people. We've got a very, very, we seem to attract the right people. We've got people that are kind of military, athletes, IT, engineers, very, very disciplined, kind of logical-minded people. And a lot of these communities you see in other trading platforms are very toxic. And it's because they don't get the right people. It's kind of anyone. And it's like a free-for-all. And I think we've very kindly, carefully selected who our target client, because we want results for them. And it seems to be working. I mean, the community is amazing. I agree 100%.
Yeah, I mean, I've had, like, in my... I wouldn't really call it a trading community, but, like, I've, like, stalked Reddit Forex and stuff like that,
yep,
and
yep.
the stuff that goes on forums. In there is absolutely not my thing, at least not in this sector
space. No,
yeah, so yeah, and yeah, I totally get that feel from here, that everyone seems sort of like-minded, analytical, serious, diligent. So
yeah, absolutely. So now you're kind of in tier one, what's changed on your approach? Have you kind of, how are you approaching it?
Right now, so I've only actually been a member of, I signed up for the year's membership last week, so I've been on here for a very short amount of time. But I thought I'd go in and book one of these anyway. I thought it might be useful, and it seems nice thing to do so.
Yeah, I mean, and there's a strong correlation between the people that sign up and get straight in to the accountability and the results that they have, believe me.
Well, that's a good sign then. But so what I'm doing at the moment is I've gone through the cornerstone I went through half of the core of the stone stuff, the second half, because I have been studying a little bit, so I kind of
the basics,
and then I've done most of the foundation course. I've just got the putting it all together section to go through.
Okay. Are you going to do the foundation 2.0 as well?
I am. Once I've done the foundation, I'm going to go straight over to the foundation 2.0. And then after that, I feel like I want to go. I don't know what the consensus is here, but I was kind of feeling like I wanted to go straight onto the blueprint one after that.
Yeah.
So I can start doing some sort of, I want to do that before I do my back testing.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. And if I'm honest with you, I'm not too fond of Fibonacci.
No.
I mean, I will give it a go, but there's something in the back of my mind that's telling me no. And I don't know. I don't know how that'll affect me, but I'm up for giving it a go. It's just I haven't seen any proper analysis that makes me think that it's real. So, I mean, I know people are profitable with it. I'm not saying it's not profitable and that it's not a real thing, obviously, because obviously you guys use it a lot, and that's why I'm willing to give it a go.
I don't trade off of Fibonacci, but we do use it as like a confirmation
confluence,
indicator,
right?
If you like.
Yeah. So I mean, yeah. I think I want to. The time frame I want to go for when I start back testing is 4 hours because I want to trade around my job.
Yeah.
I love my job and I don't want to quit it.
That's great.
The reason I want to do trading is because I want to have more than one form of income, and when it comes down to it, I want to come to a stage where I don't need to be doing my job. At the moment, I don't have children, so that's fine. I can spend my time however I feel like it. But if I do become a father, I would like to not be able, not the worst conversation I can imagine is like my child coming up to me and saying, "Hey, dad, can you come and do this for me? Can you come and see my play at school or something like that?" And I say, "Oh, let me just check with my boss." That's not something.
Scariest thought for me. Like,
right. Right. I don't have kids yet, but that's one of the things that I want to be there for them if I do. My dad wasn't, so I want to make sure that that's changes with me.
Right.
So,
I just say, I think that you'll really, really enjoy my podcast.
I'm sure I will.
very similar situation. So, I recommend you go and listen from number one, obviously.
That's why I like to listen from what I usually do is I pick a podcast, I start at one and I listen all the way through until it finishes, and then I choose another podcast and I listen all the way through. It's kind of like a story. So
the only problem with that is if you listen to Akil's, it will never end because he's got about 400 episodes.
he's extremely prolific.
He does about three a week, I think.
Right. I've almost finished it, actually. So
have you?
Yeah. The ones that I've got access to anyway. For some reason, it starts at like episode 100 and something on my podcasting app. So I had to start there. But yeah.
Okay. So you've basically just told us why you're learning to trade and kind of your style and what you want to get from it. How are you finding the course material and the kind of, is it all clear? You know, have you had any stumbling blocks?
No, I think it's pretty clear at the moment. I mean, I'm on the foundation course, so it's obviously the foundations.
Yeah.
So it's also kind of review from other courses that I've taken. Like I told you, I did the free course a while back and it was good on basics. I think it was a pretty good course on basics. Doesn't give you everything, but it gives you basics. And there's been overlaps and there's been new things as well, which is really nice. Like I look at candlesticks a little bit differently now, actually, after going through the candlestick section, like the strong bullish candle and stuff. Like I would read them a little bit differently. It's similar, but I would read them a little bit differently. And also the kill zone. Kill zone is not how I defined it before. So, but I think it makes a lot of sense. So yeah. I liked that.
Good stuff.
Okay. But it's laid out in a good order, and it kind of builds up to the different concepts. So yeah, I think it's working pretty well.
Each module builds on the last.
Yeah. And I think that makes it quite easy to follow. So I haven't had trouble with it yet, but I'm sure I will have some questions in the future about other stuff. So
okay. Are you going to be coming over to England or UK anytime soon?
I'm going September. I'm going to be there for a little while, but I'm mostly going to be home, I think. I haven't been home in 2 years, so.
Wow.
bad son.
Yeah. Well, if there's any kind of trader meetups or anything going on, keep an eye out for them. And if you're around at the time, you can come and have a meet up with us.
Yeah, you do the ball or something, right?
Yeah, we've got the ball, but we do regular meetups as well. So I think there's one on the 24th of August, if you're in London and you're around. 24th of August, we're going to do like a meetup, have a few drinks, maybe some food, and just discuss trading. So we do regular ones, so you just keep your eyes peeled.
I'll keep an eye out for that, definitely.
Mate, it's been great talking to you. Just before we kind of head off, do you have any like milestones or goals or kind of targets for where you want to be by a certain date or
so basically by this year, end of this year, I want to have back tested a system that in the back test looks okay. And by looks okay, I mean it's profitable. It might not be the best and it might need tweaking, but it's not a drain, right. Basically.
Yeah.
So that's by the end of 2019. And that's obviously including going through the different courses are offered here. So I wake up at 4:30 and then I do 2 hours of, at the moment, trading study. Then I go to work, do 1 hour before work of looking at charts. And then at lunchtime, I do another 50 minutes looking at charts. So I think that's hours.
Oh, wow. So like 2.5 hours of education. That's great.
So I think I can probably get through the courses in that time, plus the back testing by the end of 2019. So, I mean, you know, up to a certain point. Then 2020, I really want to be starting during mid-2020. By mid-2020, I want to have that back-tested system pretty solid. A system that I would be happy to go into a live account with. And then by the second half of 2020, hop on a live account. But that's latest. If it comes before then, I'm not going to resist it, but I'm also not in a rush. I'm not in any kind of trouble financially, so I'm not in a rush to get through things. I'd rather, you know, do things properly.
Yeah, so, sure.
I don't know if that's realistic or not. I'm sure I'll be told.
You'll soon find out. You'll be humbled in one way or another. I know that by the amount of time you're putting into education, I'd say it's higher than average, much higher than average. So, you know, who knows? I think it could be realistic to get to where you want to be by the end of the year. So with that said, will you book another session on in 8 weeks?
8 weeks, sure, yeah. That sounds good.
About 8 weeks time or you know, 8-9 weeks time, and just let us know how you're getting on and whether you're on target or not.
Yeah, I can definitely do that. Sounds good.
Yeah, that's kind of the accountability aspect of this session. So I think what you get from this session is you've kind of opened up and told everyone your situation, where you're at, what your plans are. You've told us what you're working on and when you'd like to do it by, and now you've kind of got all the eyes on you to go and do it. And you know, fair play for coming on. You signed up last week and now you're on the session already. I think you're going to do really well based on, you know, just the behavioural patterns of other people that have done well and done the same similar kind of approach. So great talking to you, mate.
Yeah, lovely talking to you too. Thank you very much.
Yes, have a great weekend and I'll see you inside the platform.
Yeah, you too.